From May 31st until September 10th, Portland will be home to a dinosaur museum. But if you're picturing a hushed building full of giant skeletons and roped-off displays, you might have the wrong idea.
The Spinosaurus that we have is about 8 feet tall, but they were apparently about 40 feet tall, so that's our biggest scientific mistake. Don't tell anyone.
Dinolandia is a cartoon dinosaur museum, full of quirky, cute, and often drooling wooden dinosaurs. It's the creation of local Portland artist Mike Bennett.
Hello there, I'm Mike Bennett. I'm an illustrator, public joy creator, and curator of Dinolandia.
Earlier this week, I got the chance to take a sneak peek at the museum and to chat with Mike about where it all came from.
Yeah. So what are we looking at here?
So we're standing in the lobby of Dinolandia, which is meant to look like a natural history museum right at dusk. So you're here in the evening, not typical museum hours. You're here for a reason, but you're not quite sure why yet. So
okay.
We're surrounded by skulls and fossils and all sorts of like gems and skeletons. This building is 22,000 square feet, and it's about as full as I think I physically could have gotten it in 2.5 months, with the help of tons of great humans who were willing to spend the last few months with me. But I can't imagine going much bigger than this with plywood. I mean, how could we not do dinosaurs in a building of this size?
Yeah. So,
you know, I don't think I know a person who hears the word dinosaur and doesn't think about, like, some mystery that is yet to be solved. It's such an interesting world. This area we're in is kind of the, if you were at a theme park, you have the boring line outside.
Yeah.
And then you get inside and you get the more themed line. So there's a couple, like, I Spy games in here, and then a bunch of TVs that'll have videos of us digging up fake cartoon fossils. So.
Some of the inspiration for the museum's design comes from immersive environments like theme parks and the haunted houses Mike went to growing up.
I mean, any theme park is for me. Like, it doesn't even have to have roller coasters. I just want to see immersive space design. Growing up on the East Coast, I feel like haunted house attractions were, like, huge in the fall because of the beautiful foliage and nice weather. So, like, in Pennsylvania, everywhere you turned, there was a haunted attraction, and I was obsessed with the fact that this Kmart was now, like, a haunted prison or whatever, you know? So, like, in college, the feeling I would get knowing that on Saturday we're going to Chambersburg to Field of Screams, like, it was something that I can't replicate, but I want it to be for everyone. I don't need it to be scary. So, as you approach the giant logo, you'll be escorted into Professor Rex Bennett's laboratory. So this professor is really, it's not an official museum. He kind of funded it himself, and he's really sick of these dusty old fossils. So he built the Findo Dino, which is a time machine that allows you to go back and visit dinosaurs as they once lived. And as the Findo Dino opens, you'll get to enter it, and you'll learn about some rules in this video that tell you to press these two buttons at the exact same time. If you don't, things might not work out. So, as we
press them. Mike says he's always loved cartoons.
After school for me growing up was kind of watching Animaniacs or whatever was on in the 90s.
But the large public cartoons on plywood he's become known for around Portland came about sort of by accident.
I made a snowman from Calvin and Hobbes because we had wood in our under our porch that I wanted to fit in our Honda Fit, and it did not fit. So I borrowed a jigsaw from my neighbor, and I was like, well, I've never used one of these. I'm going to hurt myself. And I realized that you could, like, it was like butter. So I was like, oh, I could draw with this. That'd be really cool. It's a better way than just getting rid of the wood and taking it to Rebuilding Center or whatever. So I made a snowman from Calvin and Hobbes and put it outside. And it showed up on Reddit and, like, the Hidden Portland for the Curious Facebook page. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And I'm, like, forcing these cartoons on people. And it's kind of cool, like, around every corner, you could never know what you're going to find. And that was kind of my inspiration for a while. Was, what if I just hide Big Bird in Alberta Park and see what happens? And inevitably, they disappear. But for some people, they just get, like, a surprise.
And Dinolandia will be full of more surprises.
And the doors will open to reveal this beautiful Technicolor space with a bunch of dinosaurs.
Oh my god, here it is.
So you go from this kind of like dark black and white space downstairs to super colorful fleshed out Dino Landing.
Oh my god.
So in the background you'll hear an original score written by Billy Kelly, who's a stand-up comedian and a Grammy-nominated children's musician. And he wrote this entire hour-long score for us. That's really, really something special. There's over 70 dinosaurs here, 50 different species. The number one question from kids seems to be, is there a T-Rex? And there is. It's almost 15 feet tall, surrounded by a couple of velociraptors, so pretty huge. My favorite part about this whole experience is like when I'm laying down to go to sleep and I'm feeling stressed and I can think, this is the most ridiculous thing I get to be stressed about. Like, I know I'm like, how do we put the T-Rex up tomorrow? This is gonna be so much work and we need to make sure we don't mess it up. But it's just like, I'm so thankful for what I get to be stressed about. Like, really, that's what's getting me through it. Behind us now, we have a beautiful mural by Julia Hunkler, who put this incredible prehistoric Pacific Northwest landscape together. So it kind of looks like the wall is busted out and we're looking over Mount Hood and the gorge as it once was. And there's a lot of hidden dinosaurs in here as well. So.
Oh, yeah. And the Columbia is sort of like rushing through the room.
It busted through the wall and now it's in our space.
Some of the areas in the museum are painted to look like places known for their dinosaur fossils, like Bryce Canyon. But there's also a pretty heavy Oregon theme.
And as we round the river bend here, there is a giant beaver.
Oregon isn't particularly well known for being home to any dinosaurs because it was underwater throughout most of the dinosaur age.
What they are known for is this prehistoric megafauna that resembles a beaver. So that beaver will have its own banner next to it to kind of explain why it's here and what that's all about.
That's great. I love it.
And we're passing down the river, and we have, this used to be a Banana Republic.
Oh, really?
So we have all these kind of fixtures to hide. So there's fitting rooms and this cash wrap we're standing next to. And as you round the corner here, we've got the giant volcano, which feels like an asset to any cartoon dinosaur experience.
Yeah.
So as we enter the second fitting room hallway from the old space, we are in Cretaceous Curations, which is an art gallery that we repurposed a fitting room into. So there's 8 different artists in here. They were just given the theme of dinosaurs, and they got to roll with that.
One of the artists with a fitting room installation goes by the name Self-Drawn Suitcase.
I mean, technically my name's Sarah Murphy, but people call me Murph. I suppose I would call myself Mike's right-hand person, sort of the director's assistant. I help him with anything and everything that we do around here.
Murph's installation is full of more plywood dinosaurs, floating around at what looks like a birthday celebration, but is actually a sort of extinction party. A realistic cake is set in the back, frosted with the words, "Making the best of it."
Kind of sad party vibes, which I feel like is really relatable in the current times from the last couple of years. You know, we're all just trying to find joy where we can and make the best of it.
It turns out cartoon dinosaur museums are a relatively easy place to find joy.
It has been amazing. I think my favorite part was like the very loud, enthusiastic Britney Spears sing-alongs. And things like that when we're all on ladders painting in different parts of the room and someone turns on some sort of 90s pop and everybody is just like belting it out and singing along. Yeah. And we, you know, we like carpooled to and from work every day for 3 months. And so there's just like exhausted fits of laughter in the car on the way home late at night. And it was great.
And aside from Murph and the other artists and Cretaceous Curations, there's also space to add more contributions to Dinolandia.
An evolving art display. So I said 8 artists, but really the goal is to have hundreds because this is where we get to display all the kids' art that will inevitably show up.
Oh, that's great. So are kids welcome to bring dinosaur art?
We have a mailbox downstairs that I'm hoping after the first visit people will see and they'll remember to bring things in with them. But
yeah.
If things show up in here, we would never be sad.
Can I drop off a dinosaur?
Please do.
Okay.
I'd love that. We'll have some tacks up here too, so if you want to just sneak it up there, you're welcome to.
Okay.
My parents did a great job of taking us to things that seemed really special at the time. Whether they were or not, as a kid, the memories are stuck there. There was a place in Baltimore called Port Discovery that I'm pretty sure existed. But it's like this faded memory of just this amazing space with like tubes and colorful pipes, and it looked a lot like the board game Cranium. But I have this strong memory of just being there, and I really hope that Dinolandia can be, gosh, as a kid I went to this cartoon dinosaur museum and I couldn't even tell you what it was called, but I remember it so vividly. I'm hoping that some of those memories come out of this, but my parents were great about bringing me to things like this, and I hope that this can be that for someone else. And then all through the space, there's velociraptor footprints. And you notice as you walk into this area, you have to walk through a waterfall to get out. So we're hoping that folks are brave enough to pass through. But here as you come through the waterfall, you actually emerge from the lava on the volcano we saw earlier.
Ooh, I'm glad I didn't know.
I know.
That.
It's dangerous stuff. we got this Albertosaurus towering over us, which is actually the biggest dinosaur in the space. And then we cross by our Brachiosaurus rainbow canopy, which is, I'm hoping, a fun little photo op for people. And all throughout the space, there's these TV screens that are glitching and kind of staticky, but rumor has it the professor is going to be able to talk to you through those, and there'll be buttons that you have to find in the space to trigger lights. So we'll see how he does. I hope he gets them working. But at this point, you'll be able to head downstairs if you're able. Otherwise, we have an accessible elevator back down. Okay, so it's hard to admit that you're a Disney adult, but I am, whatever. Like, I don't have a Disney bumper sticker, but, like, I love what is happening there as far as, like, the infrastructure and seeing that this line doesn't need to be this long. But because it is, there's hundreds of people off the sidewalks and inside. So I'm trying to like do that here. You know, we have our natural history museum downstairs, but really it's a line that you wait in. And then you have this cool laboratory and an elevator time machine that has a video that's probably 30 seconds longer than it needs to be, but it means the people upstairs get 30 seconds to get further ahead. One last surprise as we go back to our original time period. We'll find a note left from the professor who's letting you know that we did it, we got back to our normal time, give or take a few months. He really hopes he got you back in downtown Portland, because that's where you started. But as we dodge this asteroid here, you find out that you've actually been transported to Northeast Portland, where I rebuilt my house, where this all started. So you get to see the Ada Zoo, which was like my first educational art series.
Outside of the giant plywood recreation of his house, Mike has set up the original cartoon animal alphabet he created early on in the pandemic, the Ada Zoo.
I was doing a lot of pop culture recreations up until I created the Ada Zoo. And I would put them outside, and overnight, like 14 of them got stolen, and it was really disheartening. And I brought everything inside and just said, well, maybe this is just not the time. And over the course of the next week or so, families would walk by, I would see them, they'd look bummed out, I'd have people reach out and say, hey, like, are you moving? We used to visit Homer all the time, and it made me realize what an interesting opportunity COVID was bringing, because the only thing we knew that was safe was going on a walk, and we didn't typically seem to leave our neighborhoods for those first few months, so living where I live, my front yard was a cool opportunity to showcase some art that I think could educate too. So I created the Ada Zoo, which is an alphabet of animals. Every day a new animal gets added to the menagerie. So on day one was A, on day two was A and B, straight through the alphabet. I made the armadillo, put it out, announced it publicly that I was doing it. And I had a little bit of a following then, nothing crazy, but I was like, oh, people are gonna care about this? Oh, great. So it was every single day. I would add a new one. So the night before I would make it, and then I would edit a full 60-second video for social media, and then I just kept doing it. And it got really popular, and traffic picked up. So my neighbor was like, hey, we're getting nervous. We have kids. And then I made a slow sign for them. And And then all of a sudden, I didn't have something to post on Instagram, so I shared a picture of the slow sign, and now everyone wanted one. And now they exist, and it's crazy, but it's just kind of responding to things as it happens.
Well, as we pass through the garage, we're entering our backyard barbecue gift shop, so in here, you'll be able to get your slow signs or t-shirts or all that jazz to, you know, support the project and bring home something cool.
So Dinolandia will open on May 31st, and it will remain open through September 10th. That is our planned closing date. We'll see if it goes longer. We'll be open 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday, so we'll be closed on Mondays. It's $5 a person. If you're 8 and under, it's free. And I'll be dropping free passes all over town at different places that I love. So ultimately, I just want people to come visit, so I'm trying to keep it as cheap as possible. Masks are required. My partner's got breast cancer right now and is going through chemo treatments, and we have a lot of young kids here who can't be vaccinated yet. And for the sake of our theming, dinosaurs haven't been around humans, so let's make sure they don't get our germs. So it's a big ask. I know it's a weird transition time, so I'm hoping folks help me out with that.
Yeah. That was Mike Bennett, creator of Dinolandia. You also heard from Sarah Murphy or Self-Drawn Suitcase. Dinolandia opens next week on May 31st, and it's located at 710 Southwest Yamhill Street, right across from Pioneer Square. For more information on Dinolandia, you can visit www.mikebennettart.com. That's MikeBennett, art.com. For KBOO News, I'm Maya LaPearl.